Funding for WBUR comes from MathWorks, creators of MATLAB and Simulink software, accelerating the pace of engineering and science. Learn more at mathworks.com.
It's been a busy week in politics, both nationally and locally, with more to come before the weekend hits. The tally of presidential candidates continues to evolve, and tomorrow, Hillary Clinton makes her second visit to New Hampshire. Meantime, here in Boston, the landscape of the 2024 Summer Olympic bid continues to shift. To help us understand all of that, we're joined this morning by our political team analyst, Republican Todd Domke. Good morning, Todd.
Good morning.
And Democrat and analyst Dan Payne. Good morning, Dan.
Morning, Bob.
Let's start with a presidential campaign. I want to ask the question this way. Who is the front runner in the Republican race? You could make an argument that it's Jeb Bush, Scott Walker, or Marco Rubio, as they're all within a few points of each other in the latest polls. So pick the Republican frontrunner and explain why. Todd, start with you.
Well, the current frontrunner is someone called Undecided, but eventually Undecided loses at the polls when his supporters don't show up. But of the four candidates you mentioned, I'd say Marco Rubio has become the frontrunner with many party opinion leaders, while Jeb Bush is the frontrunner in fundraising. After Bush suffered self-inflicted wounds last week, not being able to answer the most predictable question of whether he had invaded Iraq, Bush looks weak. Marco Rubio, however, has impressed Republican leaders and activists as someone who can appeal to all factions of the party, the establishment wing, Tea Party supporters, religious right, libertarians, moderates. So he's positioned to be what John F. Kennedy was when he ran for president as a senator in 1960, a young, inspiring candidate who pledges to take the country in a new direction.
Dan Payne.
Well, I think it's Scott Walker, governor of Wisconsin. I think he's the front runner. He's slipped in some polls, but he remains in the top three nationally. He's tied with Bush in New Hampshire now. He leads in Iowa. He's a Midwesterner next door to Iowa. That's worth something. Jeb Bush was supposed to be the smart brother, but he's run a dumb campaign, as Todd said. And if Rubio damages Bush in his home state of Florida, then I think Bush is done, and Walker then emerges along with Rubio as frontrunners.
On the Democratic side, clearly Hillary Clinton is the frontrunner, even though she's still taking fire over foreign donations to the Clinton Foundation and the slow release of emails sent out as Secretary of State. The Republican candidates are all exercised about this, but not so much anyone else, Dan Payne, especially Democrats. Why is that?
Democrats want to hold the White House, and Hillary Clinton is the best chance they have to do that. And in head-to-head matchup, she beats every Republican, although I think we should note that Rubio is only 2 points behind her nationally. Some stories about her, her emails and her donors to the Clinton Foundation are stretches. I really don't think that the public cares a lot about that. They prefer discussion about jobs, income disparity, and more these days, climate change. On those things, Hillary Clinton is strong and Republicans are out to lunch.
Well, I think the media and many opinion leaders are as concerned about Hillary's conflicts of interest as Republicans are. I think Dan's right. Democrats feel they have no real choice. Senator Harry Reid says there are no all-star candidates to challenge Hillary. But privately, I think Democratic strategists must be worried about polls that show most voters don't think Hillary is honest or trustworthy.
You know, you could argue that Hillary Clinton is sort of like the imperial candidate so far. She's taken and answered very, very few questions from the media. She'll be back in New Hampshire tomorrow at an open public event. Is not on the schedule as of now. Reporters are complaining about access. What's the risk here? How long can she stay in a campaign cocoon?
Well, the questions aren't going away. So she can give these one-line non-answers for a while, dodging the press, but at some point she'll have to stand at a news conference and face the questions that her supporters have not been able to answer.
Well, Democrats believe overwhelmingly that she shares their values, and I think that will hold her in good stead while Republicans like Todd try to question her ethics. You know, she started taking questions this week. She's letting the news media into her events. Now, we should also remember that Hillary Clinton's been the instant front runner since she declared her candidacy. There's 8 months before New Hampshire, so there's plenty of time in there. And she's got to be concerned that she not get overexposed. And because there are no serious opponents in the Democratic primary to Hillary Clinton, the press has decided that they'll be surrogate candidates, that they'll ask her the tough questions and raise the issues that they think people want to hear about.
All right, I want to get to the local Olympic bid. Boston's Olympic bid continues to falter. Governor Baker recently expressed frustration over the lack of planning and financial details from the local Olympic organizers. Boston Mayor Marty Walsh does continue to cheerlead, but there's lukewarm support from the Boston City Council and key members, key lawmakers up on Beacon Hill, and a U.S. Olympic Committee member said in Boston that Boston is not guaranteed the U.S. bid. Given all this, what should the local boosters, the organizers, be doing? What can they do to turn this around, Todd?
Well, increasingly, the Boston 2024 committee reminds me of the fable, the emperor has no clothes. They now look naked and afraid. They're afraid to debate the activists who oppose the bid. Their committee of PR strategists have no strategy to win public support. They have no financial plans, no insurance policy to protect taxpayers, no explanation of what the referendum would propose, and most amazing, no public official who will actually declare unqualified support for Boston hosting the Games. I think within the next few weeks, Governor Charlie Baker will be the first to say publicly the emperor has no clothes, that Boston 2024 has no plan and no strategy to guarantee $20 billion to host an Olympics 9 years from now.
Well, I think Todd's right. The Olympics here is so badly damaged and poorly managed that I think it's doomed. That warning we got several days ago from the USOC person came to town and said, there's no guarantee you're going to get the games. I think that's like a bucket of ice water on the leaders of the bid committee. And what's remarkable, though, is the people on the other side, the no Olympics people, they're essentially volunteers, and they're almost like the original patriots. They're launching a revolution against the establishment. And they've really beaten the pro-Olympics forces, the wealthy white men who run that. It's a really remarkable turn of events.
All right. Dan Payne, thanks a lot for coming in.
You're welcome, Bob.
Same to you, Todd Domke.
Good to be with you, Bob.